This is part two of a message on the aloneness of Christ. John chapter 8, verse 15. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man, yea, and if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Verse 20, verse 19, they said therefore unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. And verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. He hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that are pleasing to him. As he spake these things, many believed on him. Now chapter 12. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. In chapter 16, verse 31, Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we rejoice and all the words that thou hast preserved for us, spoken by thy Son. As we have read them and as we think upon them, it is evident to us that these are the words of one who came down from heaven. More, he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. And we desire to know more of this one. Thou dost know that by thy Spirit our interest can be quickened to find out about this one. And that is our desire this morning, our God, that thy Spirit shall give a hunger that is of thyself to the hearts of all who are here. We remember that when Christ spoke of himself as the bread of life, they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. When he spoke about that water at the well, he was asked, sir, give me that water. And so for whatever of eternal benefit the Lord Jesus has to give by thy Spirit, may it be desired by the hearts of all, those who know him not and those who know him. we confess our sins, thou shalt do what you promised to do. And so, empower him who speaks. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Friends, companions, and fellowship. The Lord Jesus delighted in all these things, yet he was deprived of them all because of the weakness of man and the strength of God. Friends, companions, fellowship, so much did the Lord Jesus delight in them that if it were left up to him alone, he would fill heaven with friends and companions for fellowship. He would fill heaven with the world that his Father so loved. But God has not arranged salvation and left it all into the hands of Christ. But even in that verse that says he so loved the world, it mentions something that men have to do. They have to believe. But I told you that if it were up to the Lord Jesus, so much does he love friends and companions and fellowship, that he would take you all to heaven. He would take the world to heaven, but the world is not going to be in heaven, because the Savior who loves companions is going to say to some of those that he wanted to be with him in heaven that day, he's going to say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." One who loved so much to save sinners, and yet loved his Father's will so much that he would not save sinners apart from God's way of salvation of sinners. "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. How often I would, ye would not." And so Christ desired companionship, but he is not going to get companionship. He is the one who experienced aloneness from God and men to a degree that no other human has ever experienced. He loved companionship more than any other man, and yet he experienced the least of companionship than any other man. I say that without fear of contradiction. I remember that our Savior, concerning the Passover, said, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And those with whom he desired to eat that Passover were questioning among themselves who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And at the same time, the Savior said to three in the garden, he said, "I want you to watch with me while I pray." And he came back and found them asleep. And it says, prophetically speaking of him, he said that he sought comforters, but there were none, and for some to take pity, but he found none. I told you that Christ loved companionship, and yet though he sought it among sinners and among his own friends, he did not find it. And worst of all is that he experienced an aloneness that you and I shall never experience, because though he said in John 16, when speaking to his disciples, he said, "You shall be scattered every man to his own and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, but the Father is with me." And we all know that eventually, having been forsaken of men, that his Father, who was with him on the cross, forsook him. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And so the Lord Jesus, who delighted in friends and companions and fellowship, for a while, had none. Now, the reason that I read all of these verses, and what is so striking, is that the Lord speaks of his aloneness, and yet he tells us that he is never alone. And then he speaks of his aloneness that must be experienced, or he must forever be alone. He can be alone for a little while, but if he chooses, this little while shall eventually give him companionship for all eternity. And the Lord Jesus chose to be alone for a little while, and then to have companions through all eternity with him in heaven. All of these things are told us in John 8 and 12 and 16. And all of them tell us our Savior using that very word. He said, I am not alone. I am not alone. He never acknowledged that he was alone as long as he lived on earth. He said that he was alone as to men being his companions, granting him fellowship. But he always had the presence of God with him. And so, when the Lord Jesus was in the midst of his enemies, and he looked to be alone, he was not alone. When he was bearing witness of himself, he said, I am not alone, but my Father beareth witness with me. And this is important. They said to him, where is your Father? Which tells us that in the eyes of men, when the Lord Jesus stood before them to preach the Sermon on the Mount or the Olivet Discourse, all they could see was a single man. But with that man was the Father. The Savior was always aware of it. Remember that. He was always aware of the presence of his Father. The world was seldom aware of the presence of his Father with him. When his enemies heard him speak, they said, where is your Father that's going to bear witness with you? The Lord Jesus said, you do not know him. You've never seen him. You've never heard his voice. And yet the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father bear witness together. And so even though man was unaware of the presence of the Father, the Lord Jesus was always aware of that presence. And on occasion, man was made aware of it in an incomprehensible way. At the tomb of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus, in the midst of people, suddenly said, Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I knew that you always heard me, but for the sake of the multitude about me, I said it. Do you understand that? The people were unaware that the Lord Jesus had been communing and praying with his Father while others were shedding tears and while the Lord Jesus himself was weeping. And yet he said, I've been praying to you, Father, and you heard what I said. And so when you read the life of Christ, you must understand that when you see him alone, he is never alone. And this is remarkable. The Savior said this, he that sent me hath not left me alone. Well then, did the Father, when the Son left heaven, come down from heaven with him? No. Well, how can he say, he who sent me hath not left me alone? He is with me. It is the same way that when Stephen looked into heaven, he saw the Lord Jesus at the right hand of God. That is where our Savior actually is. There is the special presence of God, and then there is the omnipresence of God. And even though the Father was in heaven, and you say, how do you know that? Because our Savior, when he was on earth, said, pray, our Father, which art in heaven. And at the same time, he spoke about the temple in which God dwelt. Strange. That he was in heaven, and he said, I go to him that sent me, and yet he said, he that sent me hath not left me alone, he is always with me. You understand? And so the Lord Jesus knew that his Father was in heaven. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and having received it, he returned to earth. The Lord Jesus never said that the special presence of God was not heaven, but he said this, that there was the omnipresence of God wherever he was, and this presence was real to the Lord Jesus. And yet, the Lord Jesus knew that something was to be desired, because he said, Father, I come to thee. And yet the Father did not leave him alone. This is an encouragement to us who are Christians, because the Savior said, I leave you, I am going to him who sent me. And if I ask you, where is the Lord Jesus? You would say, at the right hand of God. Well, what did he mean in Matthew 28 when he said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world? Is he in heaven? And is he coming back for us, or is he with us unto the end of the world? You say, well, he is in heaven in one way, and he is with us in another. Why, of course. And what is so important is this, that the Lord Jesus, even though his Father was in heaven in a certain way, the Lord Jesus enjoyed the presence and fellowship of his Father on earth, and it supported him and strengthened him when all his closest companions forsook him and fled. Now, that is important to you. I'm waiting for God's Son from heaven. He promised, as to the disciples, to me, to come and receive me unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. But until that day, in the person of the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus is with me always, even unto the end of the world. He said, I will not leave you desolate, I come unto you. And so the Lord Jesus is with me. But is it simply words, or is the presence of God enjoyed and the empowering of Christ experienced? Or is it some doctrine that we hold? I contend for the permanent indwelling of the Spirit. When did you last experience any empowering by that Spirit? Any witnessing of that Spirit, any joy that the Spirit gave? And if you haven't, then you are unlike the Savior. The Savior said, you're going to leave me alone, but I am not alone, but my Father is with me. If your friends forsake you and flee, you collapse because you have no experience of the empowering spiritual presence of our Savior in the person of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord Jesus never was without that awareness and the union of himself with his Father, even though his Father was in heaven and only spiritually was present with him. And the Lord Jesus said, I am not alone. I tell you that because Christians so often are dependent upon friends and companions and fellowship, but once it is removed, they fall. What if the Lord Jesus had fallen when his friends forsook him and fled? There would be no salvation. But when all men forsook the Lord Jesus, he said, my Father is with me. I may forsake you. You may forsake me, but I must not of necessity fall when you do, because I can say in moments of strength with David, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And if your father and mother forsake you, you have reached your nadir. And yet the Lord, as David could say, when all men, those dearest to me, forsake me, the Lord will take me up. But this is not something that David said, the Lord will take me up if father and mother forsake me. The Lord Jesus, even though his father and mother and friends gave him somewhat of fellowship, he always enjoyed the presence of his Father. That is our Savior. Yes, we turn to God. When did you most fervently pray to God? When all was well, or when there was a crisis in your life? When do you go to God fervently and pour out your heart to him? You say, why, when there's a great need in my life? And yet the Lord Jesus enjoyed the presence of God at all times. It made no difference whether he was in the garden or whether he was somewhere else. He always enjoyed the presence of his Father. But what happens is this. when friends and father and mother forsake us, then we say, the Lord will take me up. The Lord Jesus said, the Father has been with me all along. And when you forsake me, I am going to rest more heavily upon the Father than I had to in the past. This is what I wanted to bring to your attention about the life of our Savior. From things that he experienced in his life that we can experience in our life. Because more and more, we are depending on people and on things and on that which is material to give us support. Drugs and medicines and physicians, thank God for them all. But the Savior spoke of an unseen force that gives support when all these visible material things are taken away from us. He said, my Father. And God is able to do this. The Savior told Paul that. Paul said, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. And the Savior said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so the Father's presence in the life of Christ was sufficient for him. But I told you, never forget that. You're liable to think, and some people have done this, they seem to estrange themselves from all earthly beings. And they say, I just want the fellowship of my Father. It was never this way with Christ. He always loved man. And in the epistle that John writes, it speaks about fellowship. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you also, that you may have fellowship with us. That's earthly fellowship. John and other believers, fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the ideal. Not, you've left me, well, I'll go and cast myself upon God, but I enjoy fellowship with you, and you and I together enjoy it with the Father and with his Son. And the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, as much as in him lay, enjoyed fellowship with men, and as much as in him lay and the Father, in an uninterrupted way, apart from the cross, those hours of darkness, he enjoyed fellowship with his Father. And that is his desire on earth. Now, I want to show you, as I thought of those in the Old Testament that were like unto our Savior in this respect, who enjoyed the fellowship of others. I'm thinking of the Hebrew servant in Exodus 21, and then I'm thinking of Jacob in the book of Genesis, and I shall tell you another as well, but what I want you to see is this, that our Savior, as the Hebrew servant, and as Jacob, in like manner, as well as Joseph, desired the fellowship and companionship of his fellow man. And these, whom I have mentioned, at great sacrifice, secured the fellowship of others. And the Lord Jesus, in similar manner, secured the companionship and fellowship of others at a greater sacrifice than the Hebrew servant, Jacob, Joseph, ever realized. I want you to think of that. I mention it because of aloneness. It says concerning the Hebrew servant that this servant could come and serve his master 6 years. But in the 7th year, he was to go free. His master had no power over him. But it adds this, if he came in alone, he shall go out alone. But if his master give him a wife, and she bear him children, then he shall go out alone without his wife and children. And so here is a man who came in alone, but his master gave him a wife, and the wife had children. Now, when the 7th year comes, this man who was in bondage could go free. But if he did, he had to leave his wife and his children. You say, how sad. No, there was a condition. If he were willing to make this sacrifice, to go before witnesses and say, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. I will not go free. Then his master would take him to the post of the door and take an awl and drive it through his ear. And then, the Bible says, he shall serve his master forever. Do you not see the Lord Jesus? He came into the world alone, but he said again and again, those whom thou gavest me, all that the Father giveth me, those whom thou gavest me, I kept. And so the Lord Jesus came into the world alone. And the Father gave certain to the Lord Jesus. But he came into the world alone, and he could have gone back to heaven alone. That was his choice. He did not have to die. He said it twice. The verse with which we are most familiar is in John 10. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. This commandment received I of my Father. No one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and take it again. You say, where is the other scripture? When, in the garden, the enemies were coming to arrest and crucify the Lord Jesus, and Peter pulls his sword from its sheath and cuts off the ear of the servant. And the Lord Jesus said, put your sword into the sheath. He said, do you not think that I can even now beseech my Father, and he shall send me more than 12 legions of angels? He's telling them again, I do not have to die. The Lord Jesus came into the world alone, and he could have gone back to heaven alone. But he also told us this in John chapter 12. When Greeks, outsiders, those that were strangers from the covenants of the promise, they said, we want to see Jesus. And it brought so forcibly to the mind of Jesus the fact of his death that he said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. He that saveth his life shall lose it. You see, the Lord Jesus was understanding at this moment that he did not have to die. Here are Greeks that want to see the Lord Jesus. Here are sinners that want to go to heaven. And the Lord Jesus, inasmuch as they were given to him, they had become his family. If the Lord Jesus were going to take them out and spend his life with them forever and with his master that gave them to him, a sacrifice had to be made. This servant, why, the sacrifice that he made seems small now. He had to simply get his ear to be driven through with the awl and then serve his master forever on earth. But the joy of the wife and children and the love of his master more than compensated for the sacrifice of his freedom. And the Lord Jesus said the same thing. And how he could do it, I cannot understand. I know that the world is rife with divorce. Men that marry women and stay with them the shortest kind of time, and then they want to be rid of them. Why? Well, incompatibility. She doesn't please me. And I think of Peter that's going to curse and deny that he knew the Lord, of the others that are going to forsake the Lord and flee. I think of their sins and blunders. And yet the Lord Jesus said, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go free. And so the servant gives his ear and his living days on earth to his master. And the Lord Jesus said concerning Peter and James and John, and whosoever will, he said, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my master, I will not go back to heaven alone. I am determined to be that corn of wheat that falls into the ground and dies, because I know that if it does not die, it has to abide alone. And this is for all of you who think that there is some way to get sinners to heaven apart from the death of Christ. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And if there had been any way for God to enable sinners to go to heaven apart from the cross of Calvary, then salvation would have been some other way. that the Lord Jesus knew it, and the Father knew it, and that is why he said, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. And the Lord Jesus said this. He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to be that corn of wheat that falls into the ground and dies, and I'm not going to abide alone, but I'm going to populate heaven with all of those who will have me as Savior. And so I'm deeply impressed by a servant who loves his master and wife and children so much that he would sacrifice his body and the remainder of his days to be with them. But I am more impressed by the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made for the likes of you and me to give his soul an offering for sin that he might not abide alone in heaven forever with his Father. Did I not tell you that the Lord Jesus loved friends and companions and fellowship? What man would go to such lengths to secure companions and friends and fellowship that he would lay down his life, have his soul made an offering for sin? No one but the Lord Jesus. But he is that corn of wheat that said, I will not abide alone. I choose to die and bring forth fruit abundantly. And that is what he did. And in a lesser way, I think of Jacob. Jacob, talking to Uncle Laban, said to him, I love Rachel, and I will serve you 7 years for her. And so I could understand that, because Rachel was beautiful and Jacob loved her. But you and I are what Christ is working on now. We are filled with spots and wrinkles and spiritual deformities. And yet the Lord Jesus looks upon us and says, serve 7 years, why, I will serve forever. And yet, in the case of Jacob, it says, and Jacob served for Rachel 7 years, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. And in like manner, the Lord Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, but it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured all these things. And Jacob, you loved Rachel, and you would serve 7 years for her. That is a great love. I venture to say that few of us here would serve 7 years for our wives, and yet Jacob did for Rachel. And who would give his soul an offering for sin for a bride, for friends and companions and fellowship? Why, the Lord Jesus would, of his own volition. He told his Father that he would do that, and the Lord Jesus has done that. And now I told you this, that if it were up to Christ, all the world that his Father so loved would be in heaven. But the Father has said, they will not, and if they will not, they cannot. And the Lord Jesus said, I will, but ye would not. He wants you to come. I want you to think of his love, his desire to have you in heaven. He has loved you more than Jacob loved Rachel, more than the Hebrew servant loved his master and wife and children. He has loved you unto death, and he wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. But if you will not, then he will do over you as he did over Jerusalem. He shall shed tears and say, how often would I, but you would not. And so here is the Hebrew servant. Here is Jacob, like unto our Savior. And yet we look at them and we are deeply moved because we're in the realm of man. But we look upon Christ and we are astonished. We say, what love is like unto thy love? And he could say, what sorrow, what loneliness is like unto my sorrow and loneliness? But there is Joseph also. And Joseph is the perfect picture of Christ and the presence of the Father with him in his life. It says four times concerning Joseph, and one other time concerning Joseph's brethren and all the posterity of Jacob, that God was with him. It says twice, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And then it significantly adds, those whom Joseph was serving, they recognized that the Lord was with him. And I shall tell you this, at the end of Jacob's life, he who did not seem to think that God had any power for good in his life, he said, the Lord will be with you, and he will bring you out of Egypt. He shall fulfill his promises. And so in the life of Joseph all along, Joseph, though he was sold as a slave, and though he was cast into prison, the Bible says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And I know that Joseph was aware of it, because at the end of his life, when his brethren, to save their own lives, lied and said, now our father said to us while he was alive, and Joseph said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it to me for good. God has sent me down here for these reasons. Joseph was aware of the hand of God working in his life. And it says, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Then, when he was sold as a slave, Joseph could say, I'm not alone. The Lord is with me. And then, when he was cast into prison and lied against because of his morality, not his immorality, it says, the Lord was with him. Joseph could say, yes, I'm in prison, but the Lord is with me. And the Lord has a purpose in all of these things. I am aware of it. That's what sustains us. All these things that I'm telling you mean nothing unless you are aware of it, unless you make it your own and realize that God is with you. He will never leave me nor forsake me. To read these things is one thing, but to be sold into slavery and to know that God is with you, to be cast into prison for obedience to God and to know that God is with you, that is another thing. And then for an old man before he dies, to see just a handful of his offspring down in Egypt, and yet say, God is going to be with you, and he shall make you as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea. God is going to fulfill his promises. God shall be with you. Now, that's important. Some of you parents are getting older, and you look at your children. You say, oh, God, what about them? Jacob, that cynic, that one who had an outlook on life that was one of gloom, said, the Lord shall be with you. He shall fulfill your promises. I'm going to die, but I see that God is going to be with you. And what about when all of us giants, all of us who are pillars in the church are taken away? Even Jacob would say, God is going to be with you. He shall fulfill his promises. Even though we are the people in wisdom shall die with us when we go, the Lord has still said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in the case of Joseph, so in the case of his children, and God will always raise up his witnesses, and God will be with him. And God will always make himself aware to some like Joseph. But most of us go through life with exceeding great and precious promises and never make them our own. And we are miserable and say with Jacob until he came to his senses, all these things are against me. And Joseph could say, oh no, they meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Only a man who communes with God, who is aware that the Lord is with me in prison, the Lord is with me as a slave, even though man abandons me. Remember me when you go to Pharaoh. Tell him, bring me out of prison. And the butler forgot Joseph. But God was with Joseph, and that sustained him. And even though men forsake you, God was with Joseph. And though men forsook the Lord Jesus Christ and fled, God was with him. And the Lord Jesus saw the hand of it all. When he performed his greatest miracles and they repented not, he said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That is the thing that is important. It makes no difference what the outward circumstances are. If you know that God is with you, that God is still Lord of heaven and earth, and he is with you and shall sustain you, then that is all that's necessary. And the Lord Jesus said, I do not want to be alone. He wants you, you worthless sinner. He wants you to be in heaven with him. And the only thing that can prevent it is your saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's what he wants. He loves you so much. He wants your friendship, your companionship, your fellowship. He wants you to be with him eternally in heaven. But you have to trust in his cleansing blood. He comes to you. He wants you as his friend. Will you have him as your friend? Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that there has never been a love like unto thine. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Our Savior, thou dost tell us, hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us. Your love, our Father, in giving your Son. Your love, Lord Jesus, in giving yourself for us, that you might not be that corn of wheat that abides alone. We are so thankful for this. Our Savior, thy desire is that all men would repent and be saved. And so by thy Spirit, apart from which no man can repent, we pray that thou shalt work upon them and show them the great love wherewith thou hast loved us, the Father and the Son, and then let them in turn say, Lord Jesus, I will have you as Savior. Bless us to this end, we pray, and that there be joy in heaven over one sinner that repented, and that the Lord Jesus had that joy of friends and companions with him in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray.